This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz. This program is sponsored by New Zealand Bridge, sponsors of Grassroots Bridge across the nation.
Welcome to the Bridge Zone. You're at the table with Barry and Mariana. He is back and he's feeling knackered. I don't know what the Australians did to him.
Oh, I got the dreaded flight that arrives at 5 past midnight.
Why do you do that?
Because it's cheap.
Oh, what a stupid question.
Actually, speaking of that, I'll tell you what, I just about had a heart attack on arriving back in New Zealand. I booked this car park, and I usually, as you know, get the cheapest, nastiest one I can find. Yeah. Anyway, this time when I went, I was a bit late booking, and I had this $121 for the week, and it was covered. It was premium, and it was covered, and it was just as you go into the international terminal. There's this one on the right. I went up there, parked on the third level. There was tons of parking. I thought, this is great. $121 for the week, it's not too bad. A little bit more than usual, but it's covered. Fantastic. I'd already paid for it online. It has automatic number plate recognition, so you just drive in and the bar goes up, and in you go. What could go wrong? I'll tell you what could go wrong. When I went to go home at 1 o'clock in the morning, I drove up to the bar, and this was where the heart attack nearly occurred. The bar didn't open. This thing flashed up on the screen and said, you owe $329.
Oh, what?
Can you imagine the expression on my face when I saw that?
Holy shoot.
That's what I thought. I don't think I said holy shoot. I think I said something else.
$450 for a week's car park. That's almost a return flight to the Gold Coast.
Well, it was only Monday to Saturday, actually, so it wasn't even a week. Oh, anyway, I was not happy about this, so I pushed the button, and the little man answered, and I said, help! And I told him that I'd already paid, and what happened? And he said, hang on a minute, and away he went, and we sat there in the middle of the night for a few minutes, and nothing happened for a while. Then after a bit, the bar went up. And I said, that's it. I'm out of here. I'm not waiting to hear what he's got to say.
Really? You got registration plate recognition. So you got off. So,
I don't know. I think maybe they'd made a mistake and given me this car park by mistake for the wrong price or something. But anyway, I'm not too sure that I'll be doing that again.
Yep. Won't be doing that again.
450 it would have added up to, just a touch over. And I thought, would I have paid $450 to park there Monday to Saturday? No, I wouldn't.
Hell no, we won't go. We're going to pop off and listen to the last of our segment with Adam Parrish.
Interesting just to talk to him a little bit about American bridge things too. You know, no hand records, no pre-dialed hands. Right, they're back in the dark age.
Crazy.
They might have electronic scoring. He didn't say they didn't, did he? But we didn't ask him. That's what we're going to ask him next time.
Okay.
I mean, how primitive are they? Hard to believe they're still dealing hands at the table. We've had those for 30 years.
Can you tell me about your involvement with the website Bridge Winners?
Sure. I'm one of the partners of Bridge Winners. So there's half a dozen of us who actively help run the site. Gavin Wolpert and Jason Feldman founded the site. Gosh, it must be 15 years ago now. And then Steve Weinstein got involved, and I got involved a little bit later. So it's a labor of love. We don't make any money on it. We have to rely on donations to keep the site up and running. Yeah, I think it's a great thing for Bridge to have a place to discuss things. And it's such a treat for newer players to be able to post a problem and have Kit Woolsey and Michael Rosenberg comment and answer the question. Like, where else does that happen? You know, what other sport can you have superstars giving you feedback? So it's been a great experience at Bridge Winners. We started printing a press division, so we've published a few books, including mine. So I've gotten to work with Kit Woolsey and Sartaj from your neck of the woods. His book is fantastic if you haven't read it. Yeah, that's been great.
It's a great site. I virtually never post anything, but I go on there probably most days just to see what's going on. And like you say, there's some superstars on there commenting. And the amount that Kit Woolsey writes is unbelievable. And it's great writing too. He's really good at it.
Yeah, he posts a column every week.
Amazing. Yeah. Obviously, any site like that, you always get a few other people on there as well, but however,
Yeah, it's a
mostly it's pretty
constant
good.
struggle, just how much moderation to do.
Yes, I'm
And
sure.
Eugene handles that, and he's walked the line pretty well that, you know, we try to let people speak their mind within reason, and there are certain guidelines, and you can't call people names, and you can't start political conversations. And, you know, it's a bridge site. We want the conversation to be about bridge and construct.
Well, obviously, when we had all the cheating allegations of Boyer Broglind a few years ago, it got pretty messy on the side at the time, and Eugene would have had his work cut out.
You know, we made a decision when Boyer, you know, came out and just flatly accused his former teammates that we were sure he was right. And so we were just like, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go with it, and we're going to help, and we're going to be part of it. It was a crazy few weeks, months.
It was.
And that army of investigators who just watched all the video and broke the code, pretty incredible.
Yes, it was.
It was kind of special to be a part of it. I was very peripherally involved, but I edit, between me and Eugene, we edit most of what goes up. Eugene edits most of the day-to-day stuff, but I helped a lot with that stuff.
But so Eugene, just you said it's like there's no money involved. Is he, he's not an employee. Is this all his own time or what?
Absolutely. Yeah, all
Amazing.
Of us. It's just our own time. No, yeah, I mean, the site couldn't run without him. Couldn't run without Sriram, who's our tech guy.
Wow.
And everyone's just in it for love of bridge.
Well, it's a great site. Long may it continue. It really is. I'm sure there's a lot of people like me that go on there that you probably don't even know who they are. But
I don't. We have a lot of lurkers.
I don't. But that is one of my goals that I've written down, is to go on to Bridge Winners at least once a week and have a read.
Great. Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff on there. I mean, there's a lot of garbage too. It's the internet.
Mm.
But some of the bidding problems and stuff are just really interesting. And being able to post a problem and have this world-class feedback on it, it's really incredible.
Sounds good.
Yeah, it is. It's an amazing resource for bridge players, for sure. And it's all there. You can go back. If you've got a few hours to kill, you can easily spend it on Bridgewood.
Oh, absolutely. Read through all the April Fool's jokes we've done. That's one of our favorites.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And we used to have a listener that used to come up with the April Fool's things for us to talk about. And that was pretty cool. He just loved it.
It's coming up. It's not far away.
I guess that's true. Yeah, we have to start thinking about it. We have we've fooled a lot of people over the years.
Oh.
There's always those spoil sports who, like, the first comment in the thing, April Fool's. It's like, come on, let other people get fooled. And that's part of the fun of it.
Now, can you tell me a little bit about you and your books that you've written?
Sure. I've written 6 books.
Mm-hmm.
The first one I wrote was, it's a novel, actually. It's called Bridge at the Cranmer Club. And it's about a night at the Bridge Club. And there's an up-and-coming guy, kind of based on me, playing with a mentor, based on one of my mentors, a little bit, right? Everything's an amalgam. But it's an over-the-shoulder sort of thing, and the characters who come to the table are very recognizable. You know, there's a bickering couple and a grandmother with her grandson who just can't get over how cute he is. things like that. And then I wrote a sequel to that one, too, called The Partnership Coup, which is very fun. And then I've written 4 educational books. When to Draw Trumps was the first one. That's about playing suit contracts. The second one is about playing no trump contracts. And I wrote one on preempts and overcalls. And the most recent one is on defense.
When was the first one written, Adam? I mean, I quite like the sound of the 2 novels. I haven't read either of them, but I've got to confess.
Yeah. That was probably 10 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the novels are really aimed at a higher level audience. There's interesting stuff in the hands. There's 27 hands over the course of the night, and there are squeezes and end plays and all sorts of things. And you have, it's a really interesting character because he's very good, but he's still green. And so he makes mistakes and his mentor gets to help lead him in the right direction. So I do recommend those. They're fun.
No, I'm sure they stand it. Yeah, that's right. I think it's easier to learn things when they're a bit of fun as well. I mean, some bridge books can be a bit dry.
Yes. And I try very hard to keep them light and fun and as clear as possible.
Okay.
Hmm.
What's week five looking like?
Well, week five is going to be the most interesting because I'm going to be on vacation. I am staying here in Hawaii a week because, like, why come to Hawaii and play bridge and turn right around, right? So I have a couple of students who live on the Big Island and have been inviting me to come for years, and so I'm finally taking them up on it. So, yeah, it's going to be what does it look like when I'm on vacation and finding the line between, all right, well, I have work to do, and this is – you know, what I've committed to for the year, but also I'm in Hawaii and don't really want to spend time on my computer studying ViewGraph.
Yeah.
So, and again, the year is all about figuring this sort of stuff out. And the answer might be just take a week off and enjoy Hawaii. I think it's more like, all right, well, you don't have to do 3 or 4 hours a day, but let's get 1 or 2 in. And, you know, keep the brain going. So we'll see.
As you were saying before, you know, Saturday night might roll around and you might think, geez, I've done nothing but lie on the beach all week.
And I have quite a long flight back home. So I will try to get some work done on the plane. I'm good at working on planes.
Yeah. It sounds like a good plan.
Yeah.
How are you going in this tournament you're playing in at the moment? You've only had the first day.
It's just been a few days. It's just a bunch of single-day events. They don't have any multi-day events here anymore, which is kind of sad. So we've been third the last couple of days.
Okay.
It's a small field, so we'd like to place higher. But, you know, we're here with a bunch of friends, and we're having fun. And, you know, we're in Hawaii. So
how bad can it be?
Yeah, exactly.
I went on a trip last year for 2 months, and I was telling Barry all the places that we were going to, and he says, oh, you'd be able to play bridge there. And I was like, yep. And I had high hopes of playing a lot of bridge. Well, I played bridge on the first week in Nottingham, London, and then also on the last week in Hong Kong, coming home. That was as close as I got to it. I was on a sea cruise and they didn't even have bridge. And I thought they'd bound to be having a bridge session and they didn't. So I was not impressed.
It is cool when you're traveling that you can just go to the local bridge club and meet bridge players. And they're thrilled to welcome you.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. It's very good. Yeah. Very cool.
It is. And it's just amazing. You'll meet people that you would never meet if you didn't know how to play bridge.
Absolutely.
Kay, thank you very much, Adam, for coming on. And interesting to see how you're going. We'd really love to get you on again in a month or so and just see how it's tracking.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm here all year. I'm happy to keep talking. And, you know, I encourage you and your listeners to follow along with me and find your own regimen and share what you're doing. I'm really interested to see what the community comes up with. Because the goal for me at the end of the thing is for us all to say, okay, here's what it looks like. You know, it's not going to be the same for everyone, but here's what it really takes if you want to really be committed to the game and getting better. You know, and most people aren't going to be willing to put that in.
No, they're not. Yep.
And, you know, that's what differentiates a pro athlete or a world-class violinist or whatever, right? It's about how much time and effort they're willing to put in. I wonder if that'll be true of bridge.
Yeah, true. I just want to sneak in one more question. You said that you can sign up and go to the partnership desk and then you may be able to find a compatible partner. Are there things like I'm in New Zealand and if I do sign into the partnership desk, is there a platform that if I had someone from the States that we could practice online?
Sure. I'm doing my best that I can with the partnership desk. You know, there's no guarantees.
Yeah.
Geographic stuff is certainly an issue, but we can find some overlapping time when both are awake and play on BBO. Or the Qubids app is fantastic if you haven't used that before, but it's an asynchronous bidding app. So I bid a bunch of hands, just my bid, and then it's partner's turn. And they make their bid on 20 hands, and then it's my turn.
Right.
And Greg and I use it all the time. It's really great. So that's something you can do with someone anywhere around the world.
With BBO and Real Bridge and all of these platforms there are now, it's certainly a lot easier to play, have a long-distance partnership than it used to be.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Greg and I live a few hundred miles apart, and we can play a couple times a week.
So do you have big online numbers events? Because we don't here. We're very limited here. We used to, but not so much now.
Yeah, mostly it's just the games that BBO offers. The ACBL will hold an online tournament every now and again. But right now, that's just kind of a glorified BBO game. They charge 10 times more for, but you get some master points. We're still trying to figure out what online tournament bridge really looks like, because it's just so easy to cheat. Until we can solve that, it's tough, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just so easy to text your partner your hand or whatever.
I see.
As we know from the Boy Brigland experience, it's not that hard for people to cheat face-to-face either if they really want it.
No, but certainly a lot harder.
True.
Yeah.
I think we should catch up again because it's been great. We'll be able to get a review to your program.
Absolutely, yeah. We can check in a few months or whatever makes sense. Happy to
Lovely.
Do it a couple of times over the year if you want to. I'm at your disposal.
Thank you very much. I'm sure you won't be in Hawaii next time. Hey.
We'll make the time zone work wherever I am.
Appreciate your time speaking to us.
All right. Thank you both. Good luck.
Thanks, Adam.
Tell me, how'd you go at the Gold Coast?
I had a fabulous time at the Gold Coast. Ran into a few Bridge Zone listeners from Australia. Alan Dundas is one of them from Perth. He said, out in the outback of Perth, they've got not much to do but listen to you and I.
Oh, hello, Alan. Thanks for listening.
And he even told the boss, Alan Morris. We've got a few listeners from over there. The Aussies are pretty friendly. Even the ones at W are quite friendly.
Did you get a few, did you?
Oh, well, that happens. They announced that it was the last one. They asked everybody to wear black on Wednesday. So, the demise of the Gold Coast was mentioned, and I don't know how likely this is. There may be a glimmer of hope.
Oh.
They were asking all the players to complete a survey saying how much they spent, how many nights they stayed, what restaurant, what they spent at restaurants, all that sort of stuff. But I think probably a lot of this sort of thing has already been done already, I imagine.
Yeah.
There may be a glimmer of hope, but I don't think it'll be for next year, maybe the year after. But I think it's more likely to be a much smaller version of some event that they have in 2027. But I'm only guessing. This isn't official.
No, none of our stuff is. Funner. So tell me about the teams playoffs.
Oh, the teams playoff was interesting. So at the Gold Coast, only the top six teams make it through to the open teams final.
Yeah.
And when the music stopped, it looked like the Foster team and the Ware team were playing off to see which team would get in, and the winners would make it and the losers wouldn't. Well, it didn't quite turn out like that. Well, I suppose it did. But the Foster team won by 2 imps, and that meant that they were tied with the Ware team for sixth for the last qualifying place.
Right.
And of course, nobody knew what the tie-breaking procedure was, but apparently the tie-breaking procedure was they added together the total VPs of all the teams that both of those teams had played.
Yeah.
And when the dust settled, the Ware team had made it through on the higher number of VPs for their
for
their opponents. 12 rounds of qualifying, so they had 12 teams out there playing for them. Anyway. The Ware team made it through, but the news wasn't quite so good for them in the playoff, and they lost in the first round of the playoff, but finish up fifth equal. Pretty good effort. Our ex-Kiwi in the third team was Ashley Bark, third equal team. They got knocked out in the semis. And in the winning team, Matthew Brown.
Oh, good on that. Well
So
done.
they got home in the final. Intermediates
Okay.
teams won by Biggie Cameron, Emma Russell, Rochelle Van Hooven, and Tim Richter.
Wow, that's
So,
awesome.
and for those that don't know, they different sort of gradings over there. The intermediate teams is higher ranked than the restricted teams. We did have somebody fourth in the restricted teams, Craig Shanahan and Sue Solomons. Novice teams, our team came third, Bridget O'Brien, Jesse Polento, Nikki Hudson, and Pam Miller.
Nice.
And in the Ivy Dala, third North South, they had a North South result and an East West
Oh,
result.
yeah.
Third North South were June Lay and Jetta Lou. Second East West, Sam Coots and Stephen Williams. Right up there all the time were Kinga Hajimasi and Candace Smith, who's been on the show. They finished fourth.
That's really good.
The intermediate Swiss pairs was won by New Zealanders, Graham Cheetah and Peter Farley. And the novice Swiss was won by Bridget O'Brien and Jesse Polanto again.
Oh, how cool is that?
So there were plenty of Kiwis there. I think there were about 200 of them.
Right. So, anything funny come up about the convention centre?
Well, don't want to name names.
However,
Well, I won't name names, and because there were 200 Kiwis, I think I'm safe. I'm not saying it was a Kiwi, but it could have been.
what are you up to?
He was spotted. Oops, I've just probably reduced the numbers again by mentioning his sex, so we're probably down to under 100 now. But anyway, he was spotted walking into the convention centre barefoot and being accosted by one of the security guards, telling him that you cannot come in here with bare feet. You don't fit the profile of a bridge player.
What's the profile
Well, obviously not barefoot.
player?
So anyway, later on they came down and said, you cannot come into here, into the convention centre. It's against the rules of the convention to come in here with bare feet. And he said, why? And they said, oh, we've had a lot of trouble with homeless people coming in. Yeah, so obviously they were concerned that not only did he have bare foot, he looked like a homeless person.
Oh.
But anyway, I haven't mentioned any names, so if you're listening, Mr. Homeless
Person.
Person,
Now,
I didn't say who you were.
hear that you caught up with our friends from Ken.
I did. I ran into Willem and shook his hand and had a bit of a chat with him. Obviously, he would have liked you to have been there, but you weren't.
Now, tell me, out of all of that, did you manage to find a question for Judge Julie or bailiff to ask next week?
But I might ask this one. It is quite amusing, and I really hope this lady is not listening to the podcast. I did run into quite a lot of Aussies that do. And once again, I'm not going to name names,
Yep.
but you probably do know about inverted minors, but some of our listeners may not. So some people invert the responses to the minor. So if it goes one diamond, two diamonds, it shows 10 to 12. And if they go one diamond, three diamonds, it shows six to nine, that sort of thing. So one diamond, three diamond, it tends to make it a bit harder for the opponent. So anyway, I'm playing against this lady. She opened a diamond and her partner bid two diamonds. I forget what happened after that. Anyway, I was on lead and I said, well, what's two diamonds? And she said, oh, whatever, it's diamonds. I said, what does it show? And she said, oh, Judge Julie's going to love this because she always says we shouldn't just name conventions. She said, we're playing inadvertent minors. I think she just confused the name of inadvertent and inverted. Look, I did my very best to keep a straight face. I didn't
You
throw.
don't do that very well, though.
No, I'm not very good at it. I'll grant you that. My latest go-to is the inadvertent minors. I thought it was awesome.
Funny. We could talk to Judge. She'll probably laugh anyway.
I'd already made her laugh once this week.
Uh-oh. What'd you do?
Well, I was going through customs, minding my own business. Bag goes on the conveyor belt through there, they x-ray them and that. And mine went over into the row where they want to
Open
check you
it up.
out. Yeah. So I got there and they said, mind if I open up your bag? And I said, that'll be fine. Yeah, you can open it. That's cool. So he opened it up. I couldn't help but notice. And it had all these women's clothes in it and women's underwear and blooming bits of moisturizer and hand cream and stuff. So yeah, I'd got my bag confused with Jenny's. She'd moved on and taken mine. And I'm looking at this, everybody's watching him going, I'm thinking, oh my God. Any minute now he's going to ask me if I packed my own bag. He never said anything. So long
They
story
just
short,
look at you funny.
he looked at me funny. I looked at him and I thought, I'm not going to say a word. He never said a word. He closed the bag and I left. But it wasn't a good moment. It wasn't my finest hour.
Oh, What did Jenny do when you told her?
She laughed a lot.
You would have said, "Give my bloody bag back."
Yeah, I did. That's exactly what I said. I'm amazed they let me out of the country.
Oh, funny. They must look, oh, here's this fella Jones. Wonder what we could do for him now. So you had Tuesday to Saturday playing. Have you got a tip for us?
If you play a convention, make sure you know the name of it and what it is so you can explain it properly. And don't call it inadvertent minors.
Okay, Mary, tell us about the trials starting on Friday.
Okay, so they've got 8 teams playing in the mixed trials, and it's a straight knockout. So the quarterfinals, there are 4 matches, and the 4 winners will go to the 3 of the semifinals. So the quarterfinals are the Fisher team playing the Johnston team, the Carter team playing the Grant team, the Ware team playing the Somerville team, and the Barrington team playing the Henry team. They all play 3 20-board matches on Friday and 1 on Saturday morning. And the 4 winning teams go through to the semi-final. They've seeded the 8 teams, Fisher being the top team, Carter, Ware, Barrington, Henry, Somerville, Grant, and then Johnston. And at the end of the semi-finals, the highest qualifying seed, so if the number one seeds are through, they get to choose their opponents from the lowest 2 qualifying seeds. If the second highest qualifying seed agrees, then they can also be chosen by the highest qualifying seed.
Oh, okay.
Seeding. So that's how that one works.
Right.
At the end of that, there'll only be 2 left, and they'll be playing off on Sunday afternoon and Monday morning. 80 boards, 4 20-board stanzas for each of those quarterfinals, semifinals, and finals.
Okay, so you get down to 2 teams of 4 and you have a winner. They normally take 3 pairs, so do they get to choose again, do they?
Well, the winning team certainly gets to say who they would like.
Who and, they prefer.
I imagine most time the selectors would probably go with their selection.
Yep.
They don't have to. And okay. They also will be selecting a team to go to the PABF in China.
All right. Well, it will be definitely one to keep popping in and having a look, because you said there is a chance it's going to be on Viewgraph as well.
Even if they aren't all on Viewgraph, probably the final will be.
Awesome. Fingers crossed. Hope you do well. Don't go into any overhead covered parking.
Okay. No worries at all.
Catch you later.
Bye for now.
New Zealand Bridge, sponsoring bridge from beginner to international nationwide. This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.